A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
So what do you owe, what's your total that you owe?
Okay. Around 175,000.
Oof. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like another mortgage.
I know. I'm gonna get rid of it.
Hello and welcome to Planantials Podcast, Future It. I'm your host, Barbara Ginty, and I'm also a CFP, which is a certified financial planner. And I'm here with my guest today, Summer. Hi, Summer.
Hi.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, of course.
So would you like to tell myself and the listeners a little bit about yourself? So we normally do age, job, income, location, all of that.
Yes. So I am 29. I live in Florida. I'm an attorney and I make $160,000 a year.
Amazing. What are you, single, married?
Oh, married.
Yes. Married. Okay, perfect. And what does your spouse do? And how much does your spouse make?
So he makes 105, and he is in cybersecurity.
Oh, interesting. Okay, perfect. What kind of attorney are you?
Construction.
Oh, wow. Okay, nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. So should we dive into it? So first of all, when we have married people, I always like to ask, how do you do your finances? Do you split everything down the middle, or do you do it differently?
Yeah, most of our expenses are split down the middle. So we share mortgage, utilities, and then we have a joint account, which is where we pay all of that from. And then everything else is separate. So I have my own credit cards, my own car loan, and my own student loans.
Okay, perfect. So let's talk about the joint expenses. So you have a mortgage. When did you buy a property?
2022.
Okay, great. What's your interest rate?
4.25.
Good. Okay, that's fantastic. And then yeah. What was the purchase price?
$397.
And then how much did you put down? And you bought it together with your husband?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we put down $32,000, so it was less than 20%.
Okay. Do you have do you escrow? So you have primary mortgage insurance, taxes, regular insurance. Yeah. So do you escrow everything?
Yeah, we escrow everything, and the property taxes actually just went up. They went up $800, so our monthly mortgage is going to go up as well starting March.
Okay, went up $800. Okay, great. And then, so you split that part. So why don't we go through what your net take home is, and then what your expenses are?
Okay, perfect. I have like a budget that I do every month on Excel. And
perfect.
Yeah, so the mortgage right now, so it used to be $2,187, and it is going up starting March to just the mortgage and like the escrow and all of that. It is going up to $3,000 with 84 cents.
So the property taxes go up $800 a month?
Yeah. Yeah, because
wow.
I bought the house right before, like, so when I bought the house, like, when we bought the house, the prices were going up a lot, but I bought it, like, in March of 2022, and, like, all the houses where I live now are worth, like, $100,000 more, so.
So your property value has gone up a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is a huge problem here in Florida.
Yeah, that's why I was curious to ask what the value was, the purchase price. So it went up $800 a month. Starting in March.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you have quite a big tax bill then. You have no state tax, which is lovely. But
yeah, they went up from two, because I had the benefit from the previous owner for like the first year. Mm-hmm. And then they went up from like 2K to 6K.
Yep. Okay. And so because they had based your taxes on the prior purchase price, right? So whoever had lived there for probably a long time. And so it adjusted when the new purchase price was accounted for.
Yeah. The person who owned it before us, she was a first time owner of like the new development. And she lived here for like 20 years.
So they lived there a long time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's okay. Yeah. Had you planned for it to go up so significantly? Like, did you know that's like what it was going to be, give or take? Or was it a bit of a shock?
I think in November, I was really curious because I do want to try to get rid of the PMI. We've done a lot of improvements in the house. So I reached out to the mortgage lender and I asked how I could get rid of it. So they told me that I have to get an appraiser and like show that the improvements of the house have gone up significantly, which I didn't even know you could do that. So I'm working on doing that. But when I initially bought the house, like I didn't think it would be so, like, it would go up so much. And we also want to, my husband and I want a bigger space. So I want to start saving for that. And also like thinking that I want to take into consideration too, like eventually like property taxes also take a huge amount of like the mortgage. It's not just the mortgage, the interest rate.
Yeah. I think that property tax is something in my opinion is overlooked a lot because it doesn't go away, right? Like your mortgage gets paid off. Your insurance is a fraction, but the property taxes can be quite expensive and they go up or can go up. I'm sure there's an instance where they go down. I haven't had anyone on who had their property taxes go down. So yeah, if you're looking to buy another property, maybe to sell that one and get a different one, if it's a higher purchase price, then you're going to have potentially more in property tax as well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's okay. You bought a house. It's great. You have a wonderful interest rate. So the total carrying cost is $3,084.
For the mortgage, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then do you split that down the middle?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, so you're paying, we'll just round it up and say 1600 or 15 and change.
So the way that we do it, like I'm on his health insurance. So like he gets taken like $70 off. So instead of him giving me half, then like we'll shave off like whatever he's paying. Like he pays for our car insurance. So instead of him giving me half of the mortgage, like we account for whatever he's taking.
Okay, so then how much do you pay for what do you have allocated for your mortgage payment?
So it would be $1,500, and then for the health insurance, it's $70, and then for the car insurance, it is $100.
Okay, so $1,670, and that's going to be with the, it'll be $1,670 with the adjustment with the taxes is what you'll put in? Okay. Perfect. Okay. So $1,670 for mortgage taxes in that category. And then what are your other expenses? I know you mentioned student loans as well.
Yeah. So for the mortgage too, like we split down the middle, the HOA as well and the utility.
Okay. And how much is HOA and utilities? How much does that come to you?
$300. So my part is $152.
Okay.
$150. And then utilities are usually, let me keep
up. The HOA is $302?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Florida prices.
Yeah. I'm like surprised just because your property tax is expensive. So,
oh, no.
And then with the HOA.
It's getting
What do you get with your HOA? For people who don't know, that's a homeowners association fee.
Yeah. So we just get landscaping and then they take care of the roof, which is like, I think a huge benefit. But I don't think we get anything else, to be honest. I think just like,
okay, there's not like a pool or any other amenities. Okay. So it's landscaping and then the roof.
And the roof. And then I guess taking care of like the communal air, like, I don't know, whatever, like the streets between like where everything is, because it's kind of like an open community, but nothing else. Like there's not a pool or anything.
Okay. Okay. And then what are utilities?
Okay. So, usually like SPL, which is our power, it's usually like $160 a month. Water is usually $80 to $100. We have an alarm system, the $65. For the internet, we only pay $35. we had a benefit that in Nordic. So I think that's going to go up eventually. And then I also pay for, I share a phone plan with my sister. So I pay for half of that, which is 75. And then for groceries, I put aside 300 a month.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so then with the utilities, with HOA, so we have, and should I just cut these in? HOA is 152, your share, the 160, you pay half of that, you pay half of the 80, right? Half of the 65, yeah. Half of the 35. So then divide by two. And then the 75 you pay, that's your portion. And are you looking at a spreadsheet?
I am, yeah.
Okay. So you are at 170 for the utilities plus your phone bill at 75 plus your share of the HOA plus your share of the mortgage plus the groceries. So I have you around 2100.
Yeah. And I think even a little bit more because I work hybrid. So between like gas and like getting my car washed, which I just recently implemented that, but I do want to like make sure that I put that into my budget. Sure. I have around like an average of 140 a month for between gas, car, and then the toll.
Tolls,
like,
okay.
The toll program here. I'm like so thinking Florida names.
Yeah. So you're really at $2,200. We'll just say $50 with that worked into it.
Yeah. And I don't know if you want to include groceries in there. I put aside $300 each month for them.
Yes. And so what do you have as your total for everything?
I have 2707.11. And I think I'm missing the car insurance in here. And I also have a car payment.
I was going to, okay. So I was going to say, is there a car payment? That's probably what I'm missing. How much is your car payment?
Yeah. It's 240. I've been wanting to pay a little bit more. So I've been paying 300.
Okay.
But it's only 240. So I got a really good deal with that.
Okay, good. And how much do you have left on that?
Oh, I still have a lot. That's kind of the reason why I have 8,000 left on that.
Okay. And do you know what the interest rate is?
3.5. Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I locked in with those two.
Yeah. You got good rates.
Yeah. Thank God.
Amazing. Okay. So then, and I don't think I asked to start, what is your net take home monthly?
88. Yeah. So $8,808.
Okay. Perfect. And then do you contribute to a work plan with?
Yeah,
I
recently started contributing 4%.
Okay.
I wasn't eligible because I got a new job recently. And so they are taking off around $200 a month, I believe.
And you're doing that pre-tax?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. And then do you get a match on that?
Yeah, they match 4%.
Okay, so you do 4, they do 4.
Yeah, I did 4, and they're going to do 4, but they match annually. So right now, I guess they're not putting
it in. Yeah, they don't put it in until the end of the year. Yeah. That's okay. It's still a match.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're bringing home $8,808 after taxes and your work retirement. Okay, and your husband's paying for health insurance on his, and that's how you allocate the mortgage. And then, we'll just round it up. So with your car payment and everything, around $3,000 a month for your expenses?
Yeah. That sounds more like it. I have 2,800, but I think 3,000 is a good amount.
Yeah, we'll use some rounding because we're splitting some stuff. Okay, so then you have 5,000 left over a month?
Yeah, around 5,000, yeah. But I also have student loans.
Student loans. Okay, so let's talk about student loans.
Yeah, so I paid 1521.37.
Oof, 1521. Yeah. That's a big number.
I know. I honestly, it was very daunting at first, but now it's it just comes off automatically. I don't even think about it, but it hurt for a while.
Yeah, it's a big number. Okay, so let's talk about your, so you're an attorney, so obviously you went to law school. Did you finance undergrad and law school?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you owe, what's your total that you owe?
Okay, around $175,000.
Oof, okay.
Yeah.
It's like another mortgage.
I know. I'm going to get rid of it.
Is it all federal?
No. They're private.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Are they all private?
They're all private
loans?
So I had a private one that was variable, and it was mm-hmm. really killing me last year. So I was able, I just put everything in one, and
refinance everything. Mm-hmm. Okay, you refinanced it all. What is your, so is it one loan now with one provider?
Yeah, it's one loan with one provider.
Okay, and what is the interest rate on it?
I have to look it up, but I remember it being, because this was last year when I did it, I remember it being 8%.
Okay. Oof, that's still pretty high.
Yeah. I've been waiting for the interest rates to go down.
Okay, so $1,500, what is your payoff date? Do they give you that? Do they show you an amortization schedule of these are your payments monthly, you get paid off at this date?
Yeah, let me see if I can log in fast.
Sure. Yeah,
but I remember it was 20 years.
From when you refinanced?
Yeah.
Okay, so you did it last year in 2023 or 2024? Or sorry, not 2024. 2023, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so they'll be paid off in theory in 2043.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll be 49 then.
Yeah. I'm actually turning 30 soon, so I'll be 50.
You'll be 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the payment they gave you to pay it off in 2043 is the $1,521 a month, correct? That's the payment that will achieve a 20-year payoff. Okay. You can make principal only payments on that, correct?
Yeah. And there's no prepayment penalty.
There is not.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
Good. Okay, good. I was about to fall off my chair if you said there was.
No.
Okay. So that was going to stress me out if you said there was a prepayment penalty.
Okay. I'm stressed.
What a number.
I know. It's a lot. It's a lot, lot.
So you've had these loans a long time because you've had them since you were, what, 18 is when you took your first
Honestly, most of them are from law school. I think I
from
had
law school. Okay,
from undergrad, but most of them are from law school, and I don't know how that thing kept accruing. But when I guess I'm not that great at like kind of keeping everything in place. But I feel like I've been paying since I graduated in 2020, and I've been paying like the full amount. Like I did a deferment because of COVID and all of that, and. Mm-hmm. I never see the number going down.
Yeah, well, that's the problem with the interest rate, right? And
yeah.
So you have an amortization schedule now, right? They said, if you make this payment, you're definitively done. I will say that is the benefit of refinancing and having one loan with an amortization schedule. You had a variable rate, which meant it was just going up. And if you had multiple loans, which is what most people end up with after taking out a decent amount, you end up with multiple loans, like different loan numbers.
Yeah.
You don't know how they're attributing the payment per loan. Like they might have been attributing more to a fixed versus a variable. I don't know how they attribute it. They generally don't know how they attribute it. Cause when you call, I'm sure you call them, they're useless when you call them on the phone.
Yeah.
They have no idea.
No, I was going to say, to be honest, like I'm a first generation, like, so a lot of this was so unknown to me, like taking on loans, refinancing loans. And it was something that, like, I didn't even know that I could do for a long time. And I just kept putting off. And I think, like, in retrospect, if I had known what I know now, I would have refinanced them, like, in 2021, where, like, everything was really low. But my first job out of law school, I was making, like, my first year as a lawyer, like, 75K. So I really wasn't making that much money. So.
Relative to your loan payment. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have known better back then, but right now, like, I think that was the best that I could get, and it's, so right now, it says that apply to principal every month is 315, and then the interest that I'm paying every month is 1200.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay, so it says my current principal is $174,531.49.
Okay, so basically, yeah. 8.1. Okay. All right. So see, so this is a great example. So see how, and this is exactly what happens with your mortgage too. In the beginning, you're paying all interest.
Yeah.
Right. The ratio of your principal versus the ratio of the interest is greater towards the interest. You're paying a lot more interest. So we want to look at your breakdown, and this is very true for a mortgage as well. In the beginning, you pay interest. You pay a lot more interest, but that's good that you have the breakdown. That is something that is, I think, lacking the transparency with some of the other loan providers. So the benefit of the fact that you consolidated your loans and you have one loan with an amortization schedule, it makes it very, very clear about what you're paying monthly, what your interest rate is, when your payoff is, and how much interest and principal you're making on every payment, just like a mortgage. A lot more transparency. Let's go through the rest of your numbers and come back to this. But what I would love to see is if we are putting more towards principal. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your other goals. I mean, this is a large monthly payment. So for me to want you to make another principal payment on top of that would be on top of your 1521, which is, we'll just throw out a flat number of 2000. That's quite a big number. So it just depends on like how aggressively you want to pay them off versus like what some of your other goals are.
Yeah.
All right. So we'll come back to this.
So right now my gym membership is 149. My Prime membership is 1511. And then for miscellaneous, the miscellaneous category is the one that I struggle with the most. So for coffee, I'll put like $50 every month, but I end up spending like sometimes double, or I'll spend like 60, 70. Last month I spent 70, even though I had to make I was only going to do 50. And right now my job is hybrid, so I'm not really spending a lot of money like into buying clothes and stuff. But that's kind of like the issue that I have is that I feel like every few months I end up with a lot of credit card debt and I save money, but then I go and I pay it off. So I don't know if you, like, we're going to talk about that later, but yeah, I don't know. It's hard for me to see big picture basically.
Yeah. I can totally empathize with that. So your other expenses, so we said they're around 20, we just rounded up 3000. But then you have other miscellaneous. So the 150, 149, 1511, coffee. What do all those add up to be? Like your best estimate?
Let me see. Like eating out and stuff too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, eating out. I don't know if you take Ubers or like get your nails done, all of that other stuff that happens throughout the month.
I do have like the benefit that my husband does pay out when we go out to eat a lot.
That's great. That's one. Yeah. Does he have student loans like you do?
He does, but he's like in some sort of like program where I guess like his undergrad like closed down, so he doesn't have to pay them until 2026. But I think he has like 50K.
Okay, so you have a lot more than he does. Like
And right now he's not paying for them.
Right, and then in 2026 he'll have to start paying, but he has 50.
Yeah, 50 or 60, one of those.
Okay.
Miscellaneous, I would say from 500 to 1,000.
Okay, let's do 500 to start, perfect. And then see what we can do with this. Okay, so we'll say that your regular expenses, car payment, all that, groceries were in there, was 3,000. Then we'll say we have another 500 a month for gym membership. I think it was Prime, eating out. Well, your husband pays it, like coffee,
house cleaner as well. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm going to be really generous and say, okay, we'll say 3,500. We'll come back to this. So we have 3,500 for all those expenses. Then we have your loan payment of 1521, right? And so that brings us to, we're just over 5,000 then. So technically speaking, you should still have $3,000 left over a month.
Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like you have $3,000 left over a month?
No. And that's the other thing. Like, I don't even see like my money being spent in tangible ways. Like, I don't buy myself expensive clothes. Like, I don't buy designer brands. Like, I try to be very mindful. Like, I don't even like spending money like on DoorDash and Uber because I feel like those fees really rack up.
Yeah, they do.
No, I don't.
Okay. So you have really good income. You do have a lot of expenses. You have a very large student loan payment, which is basically, I mean, your mortgage is 1670, your student loan payment is 1521. So you basically have two mortgages you're carrying at this point, but you do have good income. It doesn't seem like you know where it's going, right? And that's probably very frustrating to be working so hard, have gone and gotten a law degree, financed it, and then at the end of the month be like, I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. No, I was going to say like, so I had this thing where this is so like bad. But I would take out, let me try to save this one, like, 3,000. So I would take it out of my, like, my account, put it in my savings account. I have a high-yield savings account. And then I would just end up taking it out to pay my credit cards.
Right, because, it's not sticking, right? Because the thing is, And we also, it's a learned behavior. So at least in my opinion, it's a learned behavior. When we put it in the emergency fund, we don't take it out, right? We have to learn unless there's an emergency. And obviously I don't want you having credit card debt because the interest rates are crazy, but maybe we're going too far. Maybe doing $3,000 a month is too much, where it's not as realistic. And so then we're taking it back out. I know no one likes like a diet example, but like for me, it really resonates. Like, yes, I would love if I went, it's not diet, but working out. I'd love if I went to the gym 5 days a week. It's completely unrealistic. So every time I'm going to fail, like I know that there's a lot of people out there that can totally do that. I can't. I like at one point in my life I did. Now that I'm a decrepit old geriatric millennial, I can't. I can't do it. Yeah. I get tired. Yeah. And so like I have like toned it down that like my goal is like to go to the gym twice a week. I think that part of it is like demoralizing, right? Like if you set that goal of like I'm putting $3,000 a month and then you get so frustrated because you're like, shoot, I didn't do it. And then you give up, right? Like it's easier to be... to work your way into these things, I think. So.
Yeah.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last 3 years, I've been drinking AG1 every day with no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. That's because each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. With AG1, I know I'm getting essential brain, gut, and immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, and nutrients from Whole Foods. I like to think of it as my nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases from the very start of the day. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3, plus K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/future-rich. That's drinkag1.com/future-rich. Check it out.
The other thing that I forgot to mention is that, so we had our big wedding back in October, and I technically don't have any like debt from it, but we paid it ourselves and it was around 40K. And so I ended up having like a $8,000 credit card. And then, so when this year started, I was like, I really want to try to pay off my credit card. So just this month alone from the money that I had saved, I like paid, like in January, I paid like $9,000 worth of credit card debt and I had like 12K.
Got it. Okay. So you pay that up. Okay. So wedding's good. Also, we will need to ask you how many people you had for 40,000, because this has been something that's come up on the podcast. Like, how do you do a wedding for like 35,000?
So it was only 60 people. And like, I did the decorations myself, but I think I paid a lot. And like between the photographer and like, it wasn't like where it was in the city where I live, but it was too far from my house. So I paid for the Airbnb. And that was like another like $1,000. And then I added an hour for the photographer. I mean, I felt like it was worth it. And I'm glad that I don't have credit card debt because of it. Because it was like a great moment. But sometimes I think like looking back, I'm like, damn, that was a lot of money. And I thought I was only going to spend like 20K.
I mean, weddings are expensive. I'm very happy you don't have credit card debt from it, because I struggle to breathe. So that was a big expense. We're not far into 2024, so you already got that paid off. So let's talk about what you have saved, right? So we know what your debt is. Okay. Let's talk about what you have saved at this point, and then let's see how we can get better control of what's coming in, what's going out, and how we can use your high salary. I mean, you have a great salary to try and reach some more of your financial goals.
Yeah. So I have right now a $1,000 emergency fund, and I have... So I have $75 in one account, and I have $364 in another account. Because again, I used all of my savings to pay off my credit card.
To pay off your credit card debt.
But I also had like $6,000. I had like $7,000.
Okay.
And I was like, I can't do this anymore. Like, I need to get rid of that number.
Well, because the interest is probably quite high. So that's what you have. You have the emergency fund and the Marcus accounts. So we have around 1400 there. What about for retirement? What do you have saved for retirement?
Okay. I have right now with this new company, I would say around 400 because my 401k started back this January. From my last job, I think I left with maybe 2K. And my first job, I also left with 2K.
Okay. Summer, we need to fix this. Okay. So here's what our goal is going to be. I think the priority should be improving your net worth. I'd like to get you to have a net worth that reflects all the hard work and energy you went in to getting a law degree and getting a well-paying job as an attorney. Right? So we want to like have the balance sheet reflect all the hard work that you've put in to get to this point. And you said this is your first generation to do this.
Yeah. I'm first generation. And I think that just like really affected me. Like my parents were not good with money and, you know, like a generational kind of like, it's a huge, I guess a first generation, like you really are such a step behind when it comes to finances and so many things.
Well, yeah. So you're not learning it at home and you're most certainly not learning it at school. Right. Yeah. So it's like a double whammy. Okay. I have to give you some tough love.
Yeah, no. Give it all to me, please. I need an intervention.
Okay, so I know I said I didn't want to be too aggressive. So I'm not going to tell you to put $3,000 away.
Yeah.
But I am going to tell you to put $2,000 away. The other thing that is concerning to me, and I almost feel like some of this is like behaviors you're going to learn, right? Like you didn't see it growing up. You said your parents are bad with money. You haven't seen the behavior. So you're learning this all now at the age you're about to turn 30, right? Or you're almost 30. Yeah. Okay. So we're learning it. And, you know, honestly, I know you said you're starting behind. Starting at 30 is a great time to start. It's much better than starting at 50. I'm spending an entire 20 years where you just Rob Paul, what is that saying? You're like borrowing from one hand to do it for the other hand. What is there's like some saying that I'm completely butchering.
No, I think I've heard it.
But yeah, you're like putting it in savings and then taking it out at the end of the month to pay your credit card. So it's in savings. So technically it's there, but it's only there for like 3 weeks or whatever. So like doesn't move the needle for you, right? Mm-hmm. I don't recommend this often. I think for you to start seeing where your money is going, I would maybe not use your credit cards for a month. I would. Yeah. Nobody does this. My husband's actually like a really big user of cash. I find it like so absurd because I'm not. But I think for you, you take $2,000 and I'm on the fence. We might change it a little because here's where my head what's happening. I'm like, I really maybe want to put you in the 401k because it's much harder for you to get the money out of there. So if I just up your 401k a lot, it's going to happen every pay period. To pull it out is a disaster. You'll have less coming in, which works better for some people. Some people, it's like water. It just disappears. Yeah. It goes right through their fingers. Okay. How do we feel about this idea?
I wanted to say like, I do help out my mom as well.
You did not say that.
No, I know. I'm sorry. But it's not like a
how
lot
much?
Either.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. Like I would say maybe like 300 to like 400 a month.
Oh, that is a material number. That's not like $30. Like you're not.
I need help.
Okay, so here's what I think we're going to do. 300 to 400. I'm having a hard time figuring this out. All right, so let's see. I think what I want to do, so you're married filing joint, correct? And you, where are we with your husband? So you guys are bringing in gross $265,000?
Yeah.
Top line?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right, I'm looking at our tax brackets.
I can text him fast. But I was going to say I can confirm right now with him. But he's getting like a 3K bonus. So do I just ask him what your income is?
Yeah, just say like, what's your approximate gross income?
The other thing is that at my job, they do based on the billable hours, like based on the hours that you bill every year, they do like bonus And they also increase your salary. And I think they do that starting November. So obviously that's not a guarantee that I'm going to get a bonus, but there is that potential for me to, there's the potential. And I think the bonus starts off at, I think the most realistic one that I could try to hit, it would be a 10K bonus.
Wow, that's fantastic. Okay, so you guys are in a high, you don't have state tax, which is absolutely amazing, but you federally are going to fall, man, it looks like you are, especially if you guys get bonuses, you're going to be in the 24% federal marginal rate. That's not your effective, but it's quite high. 24 would be give or take, I think, not a tax professional, but if you look at your brackets and where your combined income is, not including bonuses, the top tax rate you're hitting is 24. That's your marginal rate. Your effective is your tax average. And this is just federally, right? Because you don't have state. I think the easiest way for you is that we increase your 401k because it's going to save you tax money. You're going to pay less in tax overall because when you put money in your 401k, you're reducing your taxable income, which will help. So your dollars will go farther because right now we need your dollars to go as far as possible because we have property tax, we have HOA, we have mortgage, we have our student loan, which is like a second mortgage. You're helping your mother. And like the rest of life, right? You have a lot going on. It would be, your income would go farther or feel like it was more if you weren't spending so much on student loans, but it's like, right? You wouldn't be making this income without the law degree most likely. Like, right. How do we feel about trying this out? Why don't you increase your 401k from 4 to 10%? We'll increase it by 6%. Let me see what that number comes into. I think it will help you two ways. One, it's going to lower your taxable income, which will help because you're in a high income, you're a high income earner.
Yeah.
Second, I think it'll also start to make you feel good because you're going to start seeing an account with your name on it grow in value.
Yeah. And that's one of the things why I really struggle because I'm like, okay, I do make a lot of money, but I don't have any retirement funds, which is, I think, is very worrisome. Like, well, I want to think about the future and not worry about it.
Right, absolutely. And you're 30. So we want to start putting money in there. We want to do twofold, right? We want to get your student loans paid off. I don't know that we're going to add anything to the student loan payment at this time. I think what we need to do is get your actual savings up. So get your retirement up and your emergency fund. And then you could always do principal payments down the road. Like, let's say your income goes from 160, and now you're making 170. As you make more money, or maybe your mom no longer needs help or something, we could do stuff down the road. But I think right now we just need to start putting money aside for you, both from an emergency fund standpoint, for God forbid there's a problem with the property, and from your retirement, because as you said, you're about to turn 30. So we want to get as many decades of compounding of interest as possible. So we have your 30s, we have your 40s, we have your 50s, and in theory, we have your 60s. That's four. We don't want to miss one. It makes a big difference.
Yeah.
Okay. So why don't we do this? If we up, you're currently at 4%. This is going to be a big change. But if we go to 10% at 160,000, not including bonuses, that's 16,000 that will go into your 401k this year, give or take. We're like 1 month off. And then you're also going to get the 4%. So then you're doing, your company will be putting money in too. Do you know what I know you said you just started. Do you know how long you have to stay there to keep the money they give you?
No, I'm not sure. But I am planning on staying here for a while. That was, I think, kind of like what affected me the most in the first two jobs is that I wasn't eligible to contribute until like 6 months after I started working. So I've had a job basically every year and a half. So since I keep on leaving, like, it doesn't
matter. You're not vesting and then you're not participating because you have to wait. So let's do this. This is going to be extreme. You're going to feel it in your paycheck. I think it will work though.
Okay.
I think it will work. I want you to up your 401k to 10%. So then total with your company match, you're at 14, which is a nice number. So that would be 22,400 combined going into your 401k this year or over the next 12 months. If you get a raise, I want you to split it. So what we're going to work on is getting your contribution amount continually going up until you're maxing it out. So just keep that in the back of your mind. Anytime you get a raise, half for today, half for tomorrow. Okay. Split it. Okay. We're going to start with that. So I just spent, okay. So I just spent another $800 mm-hmm. monthly, 400. So technically you had 3000 left over, but then you told me about your mom. So let's just assume that's really 2000, right? And yeah. I just spent 800 of it. I hope you're not regretting coming on the show. It's like,
it gives me a lot of anxiety. I know, like, I really need help. And I've been listening to the show since 2021. Since I started working as an attorney. Like, I listen to so many financial podcasts and I feel like I still can't get my finances in order. But I was looking for, like, certified financial planners around me, mm-hmm. and I just found, like, wealth management. So I feel like I need more, like, a budget help than the wealth management at this point.
Yeah, we need to get you wealthy. We need to we need to acquire wealth, and then you can get a wealth manager. But yes, you need you need some education on, like, what are the different things that are going to work for you? How do you make your dollar go farther? How to take advantage of the workplace plan? So yes, that's what we're going to do. So then technically you should have $1,200 a month left over, technically. Okay. So why don't we start with this? Why don't you start with every pay period, mm-hmm. $300 automatically is deducted and goes into your emergency fund.
Okay.
That's $600 a month. That's half of what we should have left over.
Okay.
And that's including the money for your mom. That's including the miscellaneous, okay. the student loans, everything.
So you're saying to save $300?
A pay period. So $600 a month.
A pay period. Okay. Okay.
Just trying to make it more palatable by saying $300 a pay period. It's $600 a month.
Okay.
So if you end up doing the $600 a month for 12 months, that's going to be $7,200 is going to go into your emergency fund, right? Over the next 12 months. If mm-hmm. you can do more, great. But let's just start there with the baseline. Let's just get some money in the emergency fund. Because then that's like $8,200. So that's a good number to start.
Yeah.
Then over the next 12 months with your contribution and your employer match, not upping anything, not getting bonuses, anything, you would put away $22,400. So combined, we're saving almost $30,000 over the next 12 months.
Oh, nice.
That's a very material change from where we are today.
Yeah.
And I do think we're using up a lot of your money, right? We're using up $1,400, but I'm trying to do it the most tax efficient way so that you feel you're able to save mm-hmm. the most without feeling it being too strained. If you can do more with the emergency fund, do it. But start with that $300 a pay period. And you could have it auto draft, right? You could have however you get paid, like set it up auto and then see how that goes. The other thing that I'll say, and some people have like very strong opinions about this, I think whatever works for you is the right path. Whatever makes it easier to know where your money is going, you can do that. So one idea, you don't have to do this, is you could use cash. You could say, okay, this is what I need in my account for all of the bills that we discussed today, including your mom. I would put your mom in there for the $300 to $400, err on the side of caution, $400, because it is an expense, right? You're going to do that monthly. We should have it earmarked because otherwise you're putting that $400 in savings when it's going to be taken out anyway, right? Because it's just mm-hmm. not going to balance. And then for the miscellaneous, which I think is the problem, mm-hmm. take money out in cash and say, okay, like I'm going to try and live on this. Cause you do make different decisions, I think, when you're not swiping for it. Like if you went to dinner, right. And you're like, okay, for dinner out, I'm only going to have spend $50 or $60. When you have a credit card, it doesn't really matter if it's 75, like you just swipe. But if you only brought 60 in your hand and that's what you're going to spend, you're going to like be like, actually, I can't get the second drink because I won't be able to pay. And you're not going to sit there and not pay your bill. You're going to be like, well, now what do I do? You know? Mm-hmm. So I would give that a whirl. Some people have like very strong opinions on this, but whatever you can do to have a better idea of what's coming in and what's going out for the miscellaneous, I think will really help you because it sounds like based on our conversation, what you'd really like is to have more savings and more for retirement. Mm-hmm. That would make you feel... would be a positive effect, especially because you've spent so much on your education and your first generation. So it's really easy throughout the month that these little things add up without the intention behind it. Like you're not intending to spend $200 on XYZ. And that 200 would make a big difference in your emergency fund.
Yeah. And I remember graduating from law school with like $3,000 of credit card debt. Now I feel like I end up with $3,000 of credit card debt like every 2 months.
Right. You know how to live on a budget because you did it during law school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Opening up credit cards. And that was the other issue I had too. Like I was just using this one for this. And like I wasn't really keeping track and just accumulating mm-hmm. a bunch of interest as well. But starting this January, I started using just my debit card for everything. So I think the only thing that I've been, that I've used my credit card is Amazon, but I'm planning on paying it off.
Yeah. And also remember when you could try doing, I did this years ago. I haven't done it in a while, honestly, but I did these things called $0 days, like where I'm like, yeah. just refuse to spend money. Like I'm just going to eat everything I have in my fridge. I'm not going to spend. Those help because you're like very conscious. It's a more extreme, but like if you did a $0 day once a week, it'll save you money.
Yeah, for sure. And I did this thing in January too, where I like kept track of every single dollar I spent. And it's the first time I've done that in like my life. And I think just buying like cold brew at home and like not going out to like buy coffee every single day, just working from home it's been cheaper for my budget.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because you're going to eat something that's in your fridge. You're not going to buy coffee out. And remember, this is all temporary to get. We just need to kind of kickstart the savings habit, right, mm-hmm. for you. And this will pay long-term dividends, right? This is going to change the entire trajectory of your life. If you start saving $30,000 a year mm-hmm. now, and you develop this good habit, you understand how it works, and you continue this, you're set, right?
Yeah, no, because for sure. I'm excited, yeah. This was, yeah, it was a lot. And I also work really hard too. So I'm like, I feel like I make 160, but I also like work a lot. So it like comes at a price.
Yeah, and you want to have something to show for it after. And this is what I tell people that are high income earners who have stressful or intense jobs. We need to have more than like you had a good time. Like, you know, you were able to like DoorDash all your meals or take Ubers. Like we need more than that, I think. I think at the end of it, you need to say like, I have an account with $400,000 in it. I have a fully funded emergency fund. I own my home. Like we want to have you have the financial control in your life and not just have a great cash flow while you have the job. Like you want to, at the end of this, in my opinion, or sometime in the near future, you want to be able to have a balance sheet that says, look, all of this hard work has paid off. I have a 401k that has over $300,000 in it. I have a fully funded emergency fund. I only have 10 years left on my student loans. Yeah. So this is a great time now, like in the beginning of the year, you've already done that inventory for January, like to continue with that. And
I forgot
it's going
to
be
mention
these
too. Mm-hmm. Sorry to interrupt you. I had opened a Roth 401k with Fidelity, and I have right now around, I think, 800.
It's not a Roth 401k. It's a Roth IRA you opened?
Yeah, that's the one I opened. IRA. Mm-hmm. And I was contributing 100 a month.
When?
I do that every month. I forgot to mention.
No.
Sorry.
You are not eligible for Roth IRA.
I'm not. Why not?
Your income.
Oh,
were you doing this while you were?
Is there a limit?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Married filing joint for 2024. So it was lower last year. The 2024 married filing joint is phased out at $240,000 of modified adjusted gross income. I don't know where your modified gross income is, but you're at $265,000 without bonuses for this year.
Okay. I also last year I made $130,000. So this
were you married? Did you file as married last year?
Yeah.
Okay. I am going to do a whole episode on do not do a Roth IRA unless it makes sense. Roth IRA has like the best reputation out there. It's driving me crazy because everyone's like, well, I have to have a Roth. I'm like, no, you don't. You do not have to have a Roth. It is not the right decision for everybody.
Okay.
Don't put any more money in that. I do not think you will be eligible. If you are eligible, you're going to be dealing with the phase out, meaning like only a portion of it would be scrap that. We have a work plan that you have a match in, you will get a tax break on, which in my opinion you need because you have a lot of expenses. You essentially have two mortgages.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't do that. So if you get, I hope you get a bonus, but you might end up putting that money in and then it not being eligible to be in there. And that will be a
fair. Okay. I'll look into closing that down.
Well, just stop adding to it.
Okay. Perfect.
who's doing your taxes for last year, but I would just not put any money in that for this year. Let's focus on.
I was contributing. I think I opened it last year. And I was contributing $50 a month. And then last year I made $130. And then the year before I made 2022, I made $97. 2021, I made $77.
So you've got up a lot in income. So you might be okay because you're married filing joint. And so you might be below the threshold. I don't have the 2023 numbers up. But Roth IRAs are not everybody is eligible to contribute. And as a high income earner, you phase out of the availability for that. But my priority usually for most people is let's get the workplace plan going and let's start putting money in there. And in my opinion, given your interest rates and student loan payments, you need a tax break. We won't put any more in there. This Roth IRA thing is killing me this year because everybody's like, I did a Roth.
Yeah.
You can do a Roth inside of your workplace plan, most likely. But I think at this moment, we need to get you saving, right? We don't have enough for retirement. And so let's focus on getting you there, making your dollars stretch as much as possible, getting the emergency fund up to a bigger number. And then once the emergency fund is fully funded, what I would do is then increase the 401k. So we're matching out for the IRS limit. Your IRS limit for 2024 is going to be $23,000. That's not including the employer match. So that's something to work towards in the future. We'll start where we are today because we also want to do the emergency fund. Mm-hmm. And then I'd love to have you back on and see how this is going. Because I would love for you to have more saved, right? To kind of offset the balance sheet of like, we owe $175 over here. We want to put more on your column, right? Like the positive column.
Yeah.
Okay. Amazing. Well, Summer, thank you for coming on.
Yeah, of course.
Sorry for the tough love.
No, it's fine. I need this. I needed somebody to tell me what to do. And like my husband, obviously, he helped. He's like, what are you doing? No wonder this is happening. Like, why are you taking out so much out of your, like, why are you putting so much into your savings? Like, that's not normal. But then I was taking it out. It was like a vicious cycle.
Yeah, it is. But I have full faith you can break it. Full faith. I think the work plan will be the easiest because you're not even going to see it. It's never going to hit your account. You don't even get access to it, really. And I think that will be super helpful for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, wonderful. Well, I'm excited to have you back on and see how this goes. I hope this works.
Yeah, I'm excited.
And for all of our lovely listeners, if you like our show, we would super appreciate you rating and reviewing us and share us with a friend. Send the podcast along. Time for our disclaimer. The opinions voiced in this podcast are for general information only and not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. All performance references are historical and do not guarantee future results. Make sure that you consult with your own legal, tax, and/or financial advisor before making any decisions.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.